Low self-esteem is a chronic disease in our society, particularly, let me say, among women. Don't believe me? How many people cringe when they see themselves in a photo? The reality is, very few people are delighted with who they are. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to the program today, as I'm joined by a very special guest as we kick off a new series of messages called Living in the Image of God. And stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about a special booklet that I'd love to send you to help you live in the victory of God. It's called The Sweet Taste of Victory. Awesome week this week, and in fact, the next week on the program as well. I'm joined today by Dr. Barry Chan, who's just released his latest book, Living in the Image of God. Now, Barry's one of the giants on whose shoulders I've had the privilege to stand, one of my lecturers and teachers at Bible College, and a man through whom God has taught me so much. One of his passions, one of the things that I've heard him speak about over and over and over again, is this whole idea of living our lives in the image of God. Most people who believe in Jesus kind of know that we're made in the image of God, but how often are we actually living our lives as though we are, living our lives in the image of God? This life here on earth ain't a dress rehearsal. We have one life to live here in this place, in this age, and it'd be such a senseless waste to squander it. Barry, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bernie. Great to be with you.
Now, this whole concept of living creatively, living in the image of God, it's not a new one in your life, is it? I mean, in fact, as I read the book, it came to you quite a few years ago through a presentation from one of your students. Can you tell us about a bit about that?
To go back even before that, I remember talking to an older minister on one occasion. He told me how someone in his congregation had asked him, "What does it mean to be made in God's image?" And I sat there thinking, I'm glad you didn't ask me, because I had no idea at that time. But then, yes, teaching at Bible College, and I had students doing little short talks, learning public speaking. And one young woman gave a talk on Genesis chapter 1 about being made in God's image, and how she said this means being made as a person who's creative, because, of course, at that stage in Genesis 1 is the story of God creating the heavens and the earth. And I thought, now there's an idea. And really, from that, I began to think about it. The other thing that happened was we had a number of young people who had come really off the streets into Bible College. Mm-hmm. They were brand new Christians. They had come to know Christ. They had a very genuine faith in him, and their lives had been changed, but their habits hadn't quite caught up with them.
Right.
And they had been squatting in other people's houses. They'd been sleeping till midday and then staying up till 4 in the morning and on drugs and cigarettes and everything. And they're untidy. And they didn't know the first thing about just how to live an ordinary life. And I began to put those two things together and thought, well, we understand who God is, and we're made in his image, and that gives us a model, a concept. And more than that, it gives us a power to have our lives turned right around and to live positively and live in a way that actually looks a bit like God.
Yeah, because you read Genesis chapter 1, and I remember doing this exercise in one of your classes a lot of years ago now, Barry. and you read Genesis 1, and if you knew nothing else about God other than what Genesis 1 tells you, you discover an incredibly creative God.
Well, we do. And I'm impressed that you remember after all those years.
See, some stuff stuck.
I say to students, look, let's imagine you've never read the Bible before. You know nothing about God. All you've read is these first 26, 27 verses. And then you see that God says, let's make human beings in our image. Okay, so then you've got to go back and say, okay, who is this God that says this, and what is his image? And in the classroom, people come up with all sorts of wonderful ideas about that. But some things really stand out. One is that God is creator, is a creator and creative. And, of course, behind that lies all sorts of things like he's clearly there for a person who can think and who can design and who can plan, who can organize. That's all part of that. Then, of course, he has power to do it, and then he goes on to tell human beings that they should exercise mastery over the earth. So mastery, self-control, that's another thing. And then because God is spirit, because the same passage tells us that, then living in his image means developing our spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also means that when we understand that we're made in God's image, then we have a really very real sense of identity of who we are, because many people tell us we're sort of made in the image, or developed in the image of maybe some primeval amoeba or something, which doesn't do a lot for one's self-esteem.
Well, let me ask you that. The whole issue of understanding identity.
Yeah.
How many people do you think really understand this whole issue of identity, of being made in the image of God? Do we really get it?
Well, you said before that a lot of people have very poor self-esteem. Of course, some have the other problem. They have extreme self-esteem, where they have a very inflated idea of who they are. And somewhere between those two extremes, there's a balanced view. that says, well, yeah, to be realistic, I'm very well aware of my own faults. I know that I fail regularly. But I also know that I'm a person of great potential.
Mm.
And I think understanding you're made in God's image helps you to realize there is a potential there, and somehow it's important to tap into that and to know how can I develop the potential that is there, because even though I have sinned and even though I've failed, I haven't lost everything,
yeah.
And I'm not a total wipeout, and there's still a lot there that still reflects that image of God within me. And so that then becomes a motivation of how to live, to say, okay, I want to live my life so that it does reflect God, that like any other image, like a mirror image, it reflects who God is.
And that sense of potential, if people get a hold of that, that would be transforming, wouldn't it?
Oh, undoubtedly. And that's really what my book's about. It's about a transformed life through understanding what it means to be made in God's image, but not just understanding it. There's also a faith factor. Maybe we can talk of that later. But the faith factor means it's not just that I believe I want to develop the potential, but by faith in God, I can develop it. And I can become a new person, and I can live a different sort of life by faith.
Because we're made in God's image.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the point a lot of people miss, because the fact is, most religions, as you know, the idea is if you want to be like God even more, if you want to get to heaven, you want to have an eternal life or a better life next time round or something, you've got to pay money, you've got to pray a lot, you've got to light justics, you've got to do good works, you've got to do acts of penance and extreme things like, I saw in China, Tibetan people prostrating themselves on the ground every meter and going for miles and miles up and down on their faces and thinking every time they prostrate themselves it's one more step nearer God. And most people, most religions think like that.
Yeah.
But what the Bible teaches is that it's the other way around, that we don't become like God by what we do. We become like God because of what he did through his son, Jesus Christ. And it's not our works that always let us down, but it's his work that never lets us down, that transforms us. And so having a sense of proper identity, knowing who we are, that comes out of faith in what God has done, not in what we do.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
Yeah. For we are God's workmanship.
Yes.
Created in Christ Jesus to
you
do.
You did learn a lot, didn't you?
I did. You couldn't graduate from Barry's class without learning Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he prepared beforehand for us to walk into.
Yeah.
Barry, there's someone listening today who's struggling totally with their sense of worth and future and hope and destiny and identity. They've been listening to you today, but they just can't imagine that it's all for them. What do you have to say to that person specifically?
Well, it is all for them. That's a simple answer. It is all for them because Christ died for everyone. He died for you, he died for me, he died for the whole world. And he died in order that our past might be forgiven, but that our future might be filled with hope. And there's two sides to it. And there are plenty of people who understand the need for forgiveness for the past, but they don't understand that that implies also power to overcome sin in the future. The reality is that there's no sin that can't be forgiven.
Amen.
There's no sin that can't be overcome. There's no weakness that can't be dealt with. There's no problem that is too hard for God to solve. There's no difficulty too much for him. He can handle it all. What we need to do is trust him and put our faith in him. We do that because Jesus died for us, and because he died on the cross, and because he rose again, then that we know that it can happen. We know it's possible because God has shown his love for us through Jesus.
Absolutely. Barry, it's fantastic. Thanks for the time today.
It's been a pleasure, Bernie.
It's always that easy to overcome the battles in life, whether they're battles that we're fighting on the outside or battles from within. The enemy will always attack us at our weakest point, whether that happens to be in a situation or a relationship, or whether it's in the way we see ourselves and in our relationship with God. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called The Sweet Taste of Victory. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you live in the victory that Jesus has already won for you on that cross and through the empty tomb. In fact, at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you receive and reflect on God's word, and then apply what he's saying to you right into the realities of your life. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. Catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.